Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't, share with your friends, and visit calibrateministries.com for more resources and to find out how you can support the ministry. So today we're talking about something that I think we're all so tired of hearing about, right? The Harrison Butker controversy. So Harrison is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go Chiefs. I'm definitely a Chiefs fan. And I didn't really know who he was because I don't follow them that closely. You know, all I know is Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on the Chiefs team. And so, but Harrison has made a lot of headlines lately, and everyone's talking about him on social media because of this address he gave at a college graduation recently. And so the world has just gone crazy with it. All the news channels are covering it. Everyone's talking about it on social media. The world is saying how it was so horrible and it was so anti-women and just, you know, is going crazy about it. And so I want to take a moment, watch a clip of it, and kind of dissect, is the world right? What did he actually have to say? What's so controversial? His whole address is about 20 minutes long, and we're not going to watch nearly all of it. A lot of it is filled with kind of some Catholic theology and Catholic things, and we're not going to get into that. Obviously, have some theological issues with Catholicism and a lot he was saying there, but that's now really what's causing controversy, which it's really interesting that people are saying that this is not the time or place for him to say these things. Like, well, he was talking about Catholic things at a Catholic college graduation, so it seems like that's a perfect time to talk about those things. But his biggest controversy was about marriage and parenting and his admonition to women to, you know, be a stay-at-home mom, possibly, and it's okay to do that. Don't believe in the cultural lies. But before we get too far into it, let's just take a look at it. And so we can see for themselves. We're just going to watch a couple of minutes from it, and then I will share some thoughts.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2024, you are sitting at the edge of the rest of your lives. Each of you has the potential to leave a legacy that transcends yourselves and this era of human existence. In the small ways, by living out your vocation, you will ensure that God's church continues and the world is enlightened by your example. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. She's the primary educator to our children. She's the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father. She is the person that knows me best at my core, and it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation. I say all of this to you because I have seen it firsthand, how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life. Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, But if you asked her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no. As a man who gets a lot of praise and has been given a platform to speak to audiences like this one today, I pray that I always use my voice for God and not for myself. Everything I am saying to you is not from a place of wisdom, but rather a place of experience. I am hopeful that these words will be seen as those from a man not much older than you, who feels it is imperative that this class, this generation, and this time in our society must stop pretending that the things we see around us are normal. Heterodox ideas abound even within Catholic circles. For let's be honest, there is nothing good about playing God with having children, whether that be your ideal number or the perfect time to conceive. No matter how you spin it, there is nothing natural about Catholic birth control. It is only in the past few years that I have grown encouraged to speak more boldly and directly, because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man. To the gentlemen here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin.
Okay, I think we're going to stop there. So that's what's been causing all this big hubbub, and supposedly that's hateful towards women, and he's sexist, and he was so insulting to the women there because he's telling them that they have to be stuck at home, barefoot and pregnant, and they can't have careers, and their entire college career was a waste. And that's just so bizarre that people are twisting what he's saying so much. I see memes everywhere, comparing him to, wanting the Handmaid's Tale where women were forced to give birth. And it's really, really bizarre at how the world is responding. And I'm not going to dissect it all, but I want to talk about how we should be building a vision for God's ideal for his people. We live in a fallen world where the ideal isn't always possible, and God's grace is sufficient in those situations, but we should be working towards living out God's created purposes and his ideal for creation. And the ideal family is one where there's a mom and a dad, and they're deeply involved in the lives of their kids, making a safe and healthy home for them. And their decisions evolve around what's best for their faith, for their family, for their community. And we see that those families are more likely to flourish, and their kids are more likely to grow up to be healthy adults. Just like he said in his speech, when there's fatherless homes, kids are more likely to commit crime and be incarcerated and drug use. And the family was made to be a mom and a dad in a stable home with parents who are deeply involved in their lives. And so sometimes things happen to us. A spouse deserts us, sickness strikes, and mom has to pick up the slack, and we celebrate when she does that. Unthinkable life circumstances happen. There's infertility in which people can't have kids. There's sin struggles, me and dealing with same-sex attraction. I thought for a long time I would never be married. And there's, for a lot of people, it might not be wise to be married because of some of those issues in their life. And that's okay. We still can love them, but we should celebrate the ideal and help people make wise choices to live out God's ideal for the family, which is a mom and a dad at home. And so we have to make choices, and our life is full of those choices. For my wife and I, Mary, we make sacrifices so that she can be a stay-at-home mom. It's like we live in a pretty small house, and we drive old vehicles, and we're completely okay with that. She works one day a week at the hospital. We really feel like that's our max right now for the benefit of our family and for us to be able to invest in our community, invest in our church, invest in others, and not to be too distracted. And she had a great career as a nurse before we got married, and she did that for, she was doing that for 10 years before we got married. She's still a wonderful nurse. She works one day a week, but her identity is not in her career, and her value is not in that. Right now, in this stage of life, priority is our kids. And that's something that we should honor and cherish and disciple people towards, making choices that allow their families to thrive, even if that's sacrificing career. And I don't see anyone who goes to their deathbed and says, oh, I wish I'd worked more and spent less time with my family. On the vice versa, people always regret spending not enough time with their family. And that goes not only for women, but for men too. It's not just a woman's job to be in the home taking care of the kids. Men need to be discipling their families. Men need to be deeply involved in the emotions and the spiritual life and the raising of their children. And so we need to be discipling one another to make those choices that help families thrive. And we should celebrate when people make those choices. And families can still thrive if mom is working. I know many of those families, but I think it takes a lot of intentionality. And we always have to examine, why are we making the choices that we're making? Are we working full-time as a mom because we want to escape from our kids? That's a heart-level issue that needs to be worked through with discipleship. Are we doing it because we want the best car and put on an image for people? It's like, well, that needs some discipleship. But a mom can work full-time and still be a wonderful mom. I don't want to say that, but the priority should be her family, just like the dad's priority should be making decisions that are best for his family, not working too much. I know many men who work way too much and aren't involved in the spiritual and emotional lives and the upbringing of their kids. And that's absolutely wrong. And so we need to always evaluate, what are our motives? What idols are we serving? What is driving us? What is driving our choices? And we should celebrate people who are making choices that's going to best fulfill God's ideal circumstances for their family. I have pastors and church leaders regularly reach out to me about speaking at their churches and events. If that's something you would be interested in, feel free to go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to talk to you about what that would look like. I find it really, really ironic that much of the pushback coming from his speech is by women saying things like, well, I have to work, I don't have a choice, and not everyone has that luxury. And a lot of people point is like, well, if my family made several million dollars a year like you do, I could stay home too. It's like, okay, there's something to be said for that. It's probably easier for him and his wife to have a stay-at-home mom, but a lot of those people don't make the right choices, and they still aren't deeply engaged in the spiritual lives of their kids. They're off partying with their celebrity friends, and you can still admire them for making their family their priority. But I think that that's really ironic, because all these women saying, well, I have to work, I don't have a choice. So what they're communicating is that they'd rather not work full-time if they had a choice, but their circumstances, many of them caused by the decisions that they've made, have left them with no choice. So I think that's really, really ironic, because what they're saying is that their family would be better if they weren't working full-time and if they're able to have more time with their kids. Well, during the last part of this, Harrison is actually calling out men to step up, to take care of their families, to make hard choices, to not apologize for being masculine, And of course, we live in a culture that thinks that all masculinity is toxic. And obviously, some masculinity is expressed in pretty horrible ways, but masculinity should be embraced. And if men stepped up and took care of their families well and made the right choices and made sacrifices to do that, then women would have much better options. And so we should celebrate women who make good choices and sacrifices to help their families flourish. And that might still mean that they're in the workforce, and that's fine. They can have some great careers too. And we should always call men to take care of their families, make choices that help their families flourish, be deeply involved in the lives of their kids, provide well so that their wives can be home as much as is necessary for their family. And then there's going to be times when people aren't in the ideal circumstances, sometimes because of decisions they've made and sometimes because life has happened to them, and we show compassion to them. We love them. We bear their burdens with them. For the single mom who lives next door down the street, we help step in and fill the gap so that her kids have some healthy men in their lives. We, you know, take care of the needy. We take care of the widow. We, for people who have infertility, we bear those burdens with them, and we invite them to be a part of our family. You know, there's a lot that you could pick apart about Harrison's speech, especially about the Catholicism. I'm not going to go with the Catholicism. Like I said, there's a lot of that I disagree with. But one thing I think you could nitpick is that he said that his wife's life truly didn't begin until she was married and have kids. It's like, okay, I think we need to be cautious about that. And I don't know if I don't think he'd say he meant it in this way, because he seems to understand that Christ is central, but life begins when we come to know Jesus. And so that needs to be central. And our hope is not in marriage and family. And we need a theology that helps single people thrive in the church. And if God never brings someone to a place of marriage, or doesn't bring a couple to having kids for whatever reason, we need to give them a place where they can thrive, where they can be valued. They have a contribution to make. They can be a blessing to our family, and we want them to thrive inside the church too. And so we need to be cautious not making marriage an idol like we do many times, but we also need to evaluate, what choices am I making? Am I putting off having kids and a family and marriage because my career is more important to me? Well, if we're putting our hope in that, we do need to examine that. We need to take that to the Lord. We need to put it at the right place in our life. It's something that can be honored. It's something that can be celebrated, and we can still make the right choices and still have the right priorities. You know, Mary and I didn't get married until we were into our 30s. On my end of that, it was because, you know, I had sin issues that I didn't come to repentance of until, you know, into my 20s, and with same-sex attraction and homosexuality, I had a lot of sanctification and discipleship that needed to happen in my life. And Mary's life, really just like no serious men had really pursued her. And I think it's crazy. I think it's because she was a confident, strong woman who many men in the church are intimidated by. And I'm thankful that they didn't pursue her, because that means that she was left for me, and I appreciate that. But she made the most of her 20s. She spent her 20s discipling other women, having other women live in her house with her that she could have a good influence on. She spent her vacation time taking the youth group kids to camp every summer. It was singleness well-lived in her 20s. But I think that as Christians, we'd be better off getting married usually pretty soon in life. I've heard many parents say, oh, I don't want my kids to get married right away. I want them to get settled into life first. It's like, why don't you get settled into life with the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with? Like, figure it out together, grow together, and start having kids. It's like, we're never going to be ready for kids financially or any other way. We just have to do it. And so, not that we want to, rush into things, do it unwisely. We need discipleship in the process. But we live in a culture that is pushing off marriage and family to seek other goals, career and self-fulfillment in all kinds of ways. And we need to be more obedient to what God's calling us to do and make decisions that are going to help us flourish with our family and in our singleness also, no matter how long that period of singleness is going to be. And maybe for some people, it might be for the rest of their life. So it's really bizarre at the pushback that he is getting and all that's being said. And I think it goes to show that Americans want to be their own God, that anytime you suggest that we put our family first, it is a threat to people being their own God and this kind of self-fulfillment that they find in their, wherever they put their identity in, which in this case might be their career. And then it goes to show how strongly people will twist anything that anyone says that stands up for the traditional family values. There was a lot that he said earlier on in his speech that regarding things like abortion, and he talked about President Biden being pretty much a bad Catholic by supporting abortion. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. People said this isn't a place to make a political speech. Well, it was, most of it wasn't political, but some of it was political when it came to matters of family and valuing life. Those are political issues that are also spiritual Christian issues. And so we can't avoid issues like sexuality and abortion being political issues. But also, we don't just fight them on the political front. We go out, we make disciples, we live by example, we love our neighbors. Where the ideal is lacking, God's grace is sufficient. And we're part of that sufficiency. We step into people's lives and we help them. We help build strong families. We love our neighbors who aren't in the ideal situations. But we also make disciples in a way that's going to help people make decisions that are going to be the best for their families. And many times that might be mom staying at home with the kids most of the time, a dad working less, making career decisions that are going to be the best for his family and to be able to disciple his kids and be involved in his family's life. Right now with my ministry, I do a lot of traveling and I always have to make choices. How much do I travel? How much do I be on the road when I'm home? What decisions do we make so I can, you know, be involved in the lives of my kids? Right now, I have some ministry donors that are helping pay for my family to travel with me when I travel for ministry. And it doesn't always work for them to go. And it's a lot of work to take them for both me and Mary. But it's been such a blessing because we want to be in ministry together as a family. And I'm thankful for other people who have seen that vision help make that possible. And so we all need to be evaluating our lives. And then when we look at culture and the way that culture has reacted with such an explosive hatred towards this man, then I think that we can see how far astray our family has gone in rejecting family values. At Calibrate Ministries, we have an entire ministry just for parents of LGBTQ kids because we want to be able to shepherd your hearts and encourage you and pray for you and your family as you navigate these situations. So just go to calibrateministries.com and fill out the contact form, and I'd love to be in touch with you about how you can be involved in that ministry. I know a lot of people in a lot of the memes that they're posting about this compare Harrison to a picture of Travis Kelce, also a Chiefs player, who is at a graduation ceremony and he's on the stage. After he gives his speech, he's chugging a can of beer. Like, which one should we rather choose? And I'm not into always just making those comparisons like, oh, well, this person's better than this person. But there's something to be said for the fact that society is responding so negatively towards Harrison and yet finds people like Travis Kelce to be a hero with his shenanigans at his graduation ceremony. So let's celebrate family values. Let's not put our hope in marriage or family, but put our hope in Christ. Let's build the ideal that God has for families. And when that's not possible, we as Christians step in, fill the gap in people's lives. We love people well, and we help them make the right decisions. All right. Well, I think I've said enough. Like I said, I think we're all tired of talking about this situation and seeing it everywhere in the news and on social media. But I think it fits into embracing God's standard for sexuality, which builds families that have a mom and a dad, and the kids are a priority. And I also love that he spoke so lovingly of his wife, and he came to tears talking about her. It's like, man, like, women should celebrate a husband who is willing to stand up and honor his wife in such a way. And so let's show that type of honor to our spouses. All right, with that said, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out CalibrateMinistries.com. Make sure you check out our merchandise section. We also have some t-shirts that are a little bit snarky, but affirm God's standard for sexuality and can make a good joke out of it at times. Sometimes you just have to laugh. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we will see you next week.